serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we should start this show with a phone call, shouldn't we? Unless there's something I'm missing that's supposed to be on my calendar that isn't on my calendar. Unless there's something I'm missing, we don't have any guests scheduled for the next 2 hours. We're just keeping the phone lines open for you if you got something you want to talk about. And then, of course, I got a ton of different topics that I can bring up here as well. But since we've got open phones today and it's been such a busy week with a lot of great guests on the program, the best part of Montana Talks is when you get to talk. So let's kick it off with a phone call. We've got Scott in Bozeman already on the phone lines this morning. What's going on, Scott?
Good morning, Aaron. Well, as we know in Washington, everything is always about timing. And I think it's interesting that the closer we get to the fall elections, the more they are ramping up their pressure on former President Trump and keeping him in the courtroom, not on the campaign trail. But I don't think what they realize is they look at his popularity score in his ratings, is what they've inadvertently done is made the courtroom his campaign.
Well, I think you're exactly right. Yeah. They thought that if they tie him up in the courtroom that, oh, yeah, we're going to get this guy. But in reality, it has turned off the American people and turned more people to President Donald Trump.
Agreed. And, you know, oftentimes you'll hear a Democratic candidate or somebody in leadership talk about I and you. But if you pay close attention, words matter. And as Trump gives all of this, you know, post-courtroom comments, it's all about us and we, and they're attacking us. So I just don't think they get that they've just inadvertently made the courtroom his campaign trail.
Well, exactly.
The most successful campaign trail ever.
Well, it's like if they really wanted to tie him up in court and keep him off the campaign trail, they would have tied him up in court in like Lewistown, Montana, or Malta, Montana, right? Where there's
right.
Where no news outlet is probably ever going to travel. Well, they would travel there for Trump. They tied him up in New York City, the world capital of media outlets, if you want to get media attention. And then the symbolism where the same liberal-led New York City that puts criminals back out on the streets. But they have all the time in the world to prosecute Donald J. Trump. And it's so symbolic of what we see in America, where we see tyranny for we and then anarchy for them. And we see anarchy for criminals, for illegals and everybody, but then tyranny for Trump, tyranny for you and me.
Right. Last thought is this. I think with everything that's going on in New York City, if you look at it in the news, I think Trump hush money is the least of their problems.
Oh, exactly. The least of our problems when you're having trouble, you know, paying for groceries, paying for gas. You've got drug cartels running the streets. And then you see them going after Trump instead of the criminals? No. Well said. Scott in Bozeman, thanks for the call. Thanks for kicking off open phones here for the full morning. 406-294-0970, the number for you.
Securing America.
Colonel Ralph Puckett Jr., the last surviving Medal of Honor recipient from the Korean War, will lie in honor in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda April 29th. House Speaker Mike Johnson and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer making the announcement earlier this week in a statement saying he demonstrated tireless sacrifice for our country and his fellow Rangers and is an exceptional model for service members and civilians alike. The Army put together a tribute video when Puckett was awarded the Medal of Honor.
My life as an Army Ranger in the career has been one of the most exciting and interesting things I could have ever done. It was a good experience for me, a growth experience for me. I wish I could do it again.
Puckett spent 22 years as an Army Ranger, also receiving 2 Silver Stars, 2 Bronze Stars, 5 Purple Hearts, and the Distinguished Service Cross. He was 97 years old. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I got a lot to talk about this morning, but I want to hear what you want to talk about. So let's do it again. Let's jump right into the phone lines, 406-294-0970. Nick in Kalispell, listening to KJJR. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
I just wanted to say, first off, I'm a Montana First conservative, born and raised, kind of like you. Just living here in the Flathead my whole life, you know, I've seen a lot of change, a lot of money. I think that we need to do a sliding tax scale. First 3 years you're in Montana, you get bent over the coals. After that, maybe we can lessen that, but it includes licensing, driver's license, permit, camping, basically everything. You want to come to the Flathead and change our place? You want to take our camping spot? This is the price for it, you know? And the people have the money. They're going to pay for that freedom.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Like, take Missoula, for example. If you're somebody that just fled Seattle or San Francisco and you move into Missoula, man, those property taxes aren't that bad for you, right? Because you just left Seattle. Now, if you left, you know, somewhere in eastern Montana and you went to Missoula, you would be like, holy cow, these property taxes in Missoula are insane because, you know, you've basically got Democrat Party mob rule on the Missoula City Council and now, unfortunately, on the Missoula County Commission. And so it's just tax hike after tax hike after tax hike for parks that you can't even use because they're overrun by transients that are defecating in the water fountains, right? But if you're somebody who just moved and you're escaping San Francisco or Portland or Seattle, you're thinking, oh, well, this isn't really that bad. So, oh, well, what is a little bit more here or there for this or for that, right?
Yeah, and I work in this field. I work on these people's houses every single day. I'm a plumber and I'm a guide for fishing. These people, most of them are still working in Seattle or Los Angeles. Their tax money goes back to those cities, to the corporations that they work for, rather than coming back to the valley. Yeah, sure, they're hiring a few tradesmen every once in a while, but the majority of their tax money is going away. And I just don't think that's fair to property tax somebody out of their lake house that they had since the 50s or 40s even.
Well, exactly, yeah. And these property taxes have just, it's been a problem since I can remember, since being a kid. You know, I've heard people complain about property taxes taxing people off of their homes, especially in the Flathead. And, you know, and like you say, if you had, you know, an old family, you know, homestead or an old family cabin, you know, near some lake somewhere, and then because of the way our property tax system is set up, it's based off of property values instead of what you actually paid for the property. And so it's taxing people out of these homes, which is why we need to fundamentally scrap that whole system altogether. All right, Nick, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. Thanks for what you do. Man, I'll tell you what, the construction industry is so important. In fact, I'm so proud. Our oldest son is actually building a house right now through his high school program, and he is excited to go into the construction industry and into the trades industry, and so couldn't be more proud. So cool. Thanks for the call. Next up, another caller from the Flathead. Julie, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron. So, couple things. This Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m. at the Red Lion Lodge or Hotel, we have our Flathead candidate forum. Now, this is important to come to because, you know, a lot of people aren't voting in this valley. Or if they do vote, they just ask their neighbor, who should I vote for? And it's time that people start being educated and confident with their votes. Figure out, why do you want to vote for Jim Portato? Or why do you want to vote for Tanner Smith? Why would you want to go with Mary Todd? Why would you want to go with Sinky, et cetera? This is the time to go talk to people, talk to the candidates, hear what they have to say, ask questions, and be educated for yourself. There are three big issues in the Flathead right now. Our Flathead Lake water, people are very concerned about property taxes, and people are also concerned about family rights and, you know, having rights to their children. So you got to see where people are standing and what they believe in on these issues. because you're either content with what's going on or you're not content with what's going on. But it's more than ever, you 30s people, you people in your 40s, you have to start voting. You need to be educated and confident in your voting choices. So this forum is free. If you want to come for the reception starting at 5:30, which there's hors d'oeuvres and whatnot, it's a $20 cost. You can pay at the front, either cash or check. And the second thing is vote. You need to vote, people. We have preliminaries coming up, and then this fall, we're voting. So it's really, really important. As this fellow guy, Nick, said, there's a lot of change. I think our population in the Flathead Valley is pushing close to 50% increase in 4 years. It's a lot of change. So we remember, somebody only needs to live here, I believe, for a month, and then they can run for city council. They can run for a position. So maybe it's time you want to see change. You should run for a position or get behind somebody that you believe in their values and what they're willing to go to bat for.
Well, and the legislative districts just got redrawn, so there's a lot of either competitive or newly designed districts. So there's a lot of competitive primaries out there across Montana, especially at the legislative level. And it's important to get out and vote for those Supreme Court candidates as well to make sure that they start to get the momentum now, you know, like Corey Swanson and Dan Wilson in particular. Julie, thanks for the call. By the way, flatheadrepublicans.com, if you want the info that she just shared. If you missed any of those details, I think they've got it posted at flatheadrepublicans.com. Back with more of your calls right after this.
Hey. If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, very interesting. I had to pull up the calendar for the Montana Secretary of State's website, the 2024 primary and general election calendar. As Julie in the Flathead was calling in there, I was like, I wonder when absentee ballots get mailed out. I'm pretty sure it's less than a month away, because you think about it. So Julie was talking about this candidate forum in the Flathead tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, I'll be at the Yellowstone County Lincoln Reagan dinner. So that'll be a great opportunity to get a chance to hear from all of the Republican congressional candidates in the Eastern Congressional District primary. That's an open seat. So that is a wide open seat with some big names in the mix there. So it's going to be great to see them all give their pitch, their quick pitch before, you know, what should be a pretty good sized crowd at the Yellowstone County Lincoln Reagan dinner. And then our friend David Noble is actually going to moderate a fireside chat. He's going to have a fireside chat with the Navy SEAL veteran and Republican Senate candidate Tim Sheehy. So that'll be cool to watch. I'm excited to sit back and enjoy the dinner, because it seems like oftentimes if I'm at events like that, I have to MC, and you're just running around the whole time, you know, trying to think of what you got to do next instead of just kicking back and enjoying conversations and the meal and listening to the speaker. So I'm really excited to just kick back and enjoy the event tomorrow night. But get this, you know, Julie was talking about the importance of voting. 3 weeks from tomorrow is when the primary election starts. Yeah, election day is, you know, the first Tuesday in June, right, for our primary election here in Montana. But really, I look at election day. Election day is not just the first Tuesday in June when the votes are counted after 8 p.m. when the polls close. Election day is 3 weeks from tomorrow when absentee ballots start getting shipped out. Yeah, looking at the calendar here, May 10th is the date that ballots are mailed to electors on the absentee ballot list. So lots of competitive legislative races out there and some competitive primaries as well. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Next up, Neil in the Flathead. Neil, thanks for the call. What's on your mind? Neil, are you still there? I'm assuming that's supposed to be Neil on line two. Make sure I didn't press a Neil. Are you there? Going once, going twice? All right, I'll throw you back on hold. Have our producer Travis check in to see if you're there. If not, call back in, and we'll get you on the show here, Neil. I think Neil wanted to talk something about trades education. And so I was looking forward to hearing what he had to say on that front, because I'll tell you what, I'm so excited with this this increased attention and focus on trades education here in Montana that we've seen of late. So, yeah, interested in hearing what he has to say. Next up, though, let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, good morning. Good to hear from you.
Well, good morning, and it's a beautiful morning here in Montana. There's a couple of points I want to make today. I want to talk a little bit about the American Revolution and also something about Tim Sheehy. I just want to say that the American Revolution begins at the Battle of Lexington, and tomorrow's April the 19th, which marks the 249th anniversary. April 19th, 1775, at about 5 a.m., 700 British troops on a mission to capture Patriot leaders and seize a Patriot arsenal, marching to Lexington to find 77 armed Minutemen under Captain John Parker waiting for them on the town's common green. And we need to do the same thing. We need to arm ourselves against these nasty Democrats and all this dark money coming into our state during this election. And, you know, I'm not going to come to the dinner tomorrow in Billings. I've had enough dinners. I've been going out campaigning on my, to vote some to meet people.
Sure.
But they're not my style. I like going out and jibber-jabbering and meeting people, which is what I did last week. And I want to tell you something. The little town of Reigate is absolutely amazing. That is Tim Sheehy country. His face is everywhere there. And I met some of the greatest people. And we talked and chatted about things and issues. You know, it was fascinating. I just love it. But I tell you, that's the fun part of campaigning. But here's one of the downfalls. I've had some of my campaign signs stolen. My best friend Sally said, "Well, Nance, that's part of campaigning. That's politics." Well, yeah, but it's expensive.
Yeah.
So I tell you.
And frustrating.
Yeah, they just take my signs, and they took one of my Trump signs. That's okay. What are you going to do? But anyway, Tim Sheehy, I don't know if you caught Laura Ingraham's angle the other night, but she was interviewing Tim. And he mentioned, she asked him, "Where are you?" And he says, "I'm in Martinsdale, Montana."
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, because he must have that, you know, there's that other Navy SEAL up there that lives and works on a ranch, doesn't he? That's probably one of his buddies.
That's his buddy. That's Greg Putnam. Greg was in Vegas with us for UFC 300. Yeah, they were both Navy SEAL teammates. How cool is this? They served together as Navy SEALs on a team together, and now they run the Little Belt Ranch, the Little Belt Cattle Company together, just outside of Martinsdale. In fact, I had heard, Greg was telling me that, apparently Tim couldn't get decent enough cell coverage on the ranch, so he went down to the Mint, great restaurant bar there in Martinsdale, in order to do his interview with Laura Ingraham.
Oh, it was fun, but I just told, remember that that hassle we had with Hollyweird? They were wanting to come into Martinsdale and develop it and everything, and I got on the air several times. And, my God, we got him so they wouldn't come into Martinsdale. So I hope this doesn't start something, because she said something. Well, I'm going to have to go visit.
Well, Laura can visit.
I love Laura Ingraham, but Laura, please stay where you're at. Don't bring it here to Montana, especially Martinsdale.
Well, yeah, because then Holly Weird will try to move in as well at the same time. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, no, Nancy, great to hear from you. Yeah, and I hear where you're coming from. Look, I love these dinners, too. Don't get me wrong. And they're important, right? But oftentimes, you know, we can spend too much time talking to the people that are already going to vote for our side anyway, when we got to get out there and talk to everybody else. And so, yeah, these dinners are important too, but they can't be the only thing that you do, right? It's just like I love talk radio. But if the only thing people do is, oh, I got a yard sign in my yard and I called in to talk radio, mission accomplished. No. You're just barely getting started because you got to get out there and talk to everybody else. And it sounds like that's what you're doing. Nancy, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. I had to whip out my American Patriots Almanac because she was mentioning tomorrow and a day in history news story for tomorrow. today, April 18th, 1775, is when Paul Revere made his famous ride from Boston to Lexington. So in 1775, seems like it was forever ago, but really, really, you know, this cause and this fight for freedom, this enduring fight for freedom, this infinity war, shall we call it, for freedom, we're still a very new experiment, this whole thing called America. And so that's why we got to continue the fight for liberty here, as was mentioned. All right, next up. Looks like we do have Neil. I think Neil had to take another quick phone call there. Let's see. Neil, are you back with us?
I'm back with you, Aaron. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good. I was excited to hear what you had to say about trades education.
Yeah, absolutely. You kind of inspired me. You were talking earlier about your son's high school program where he's building a house. And something struck me about what you said. You said that he was excited to go into the trades and that you were proud of him. And I think that that's a message that parents are not giving their kids. That kids are getting the message, and it's been my experience. My parents didn't push college on me or anything like that. I mean, they wanted me to go, but that just wasn't in the cards. And I just went straight into the trades. I worked with my dad, and I love everything about it. I make a great living, and I can support my family, and I get to work outside. And you see these younger kids looking at the trades, and this is backed up by their parents. Like, that's what you do if all else fails. Well, that's not the case. Today you can make money just like the doctors and lawyers. You can make that kind of money if you're an honest, hardworking tradesman. Not as an individual working for a company, but get out there and get good at it. Spend your 10 years in the trade. Start your own company. You'll be able to own your own home. You'll be able to own your own pickup. You can have your tools. You can buy a gun safe and fill it up with toys. You can do all this stuff.
Camper out front. Maybe a boat out front. Because you're not wasting all your money on student loans and all that other stuff, and you actually got a job where you actually build something and actually make a good living. Yeah, pretty amazing, huh?
It's incredible, and the more you do it, the more doors will open up in front of your eyes. And so I kind of want to just let these young men know that maybe aren't hearing it at home. Like, I'll show up to a job, and I'll have an excavator, and he'll just do a real quick two-day job, and there'll be a young man, like 17 years old, one of the client's sons or something, and he'll come out, and he'll just be watching it. Excited about it. And every now and then I'll say, hey, dude, you want to jump on here? And there's nothing you can hurt. Jump on here and monkey around. And it's like their eyes light up. Like, it's okay. It's okay to be a man. It's okay to want to build something. It's okay to be aggressive and go out there and take it. And so that's kind of the message that I want to give to these young men. If you've got an idea that you want to go to college and you want to learn something, and that's the only option for you, or that's the best option for you, by all means, we need you. We need our doctors, we need our lawyers, we need our judges, we need all these good people to serve. But we also need really hardworking men in the field that think that they can actually make a decent living doing it.
That's right.
I think there's more people. There's so much intelligence in the trades. There's so much. It's incredible. I have some deep conversations on the job site. I just had a 2-hour-long conversation with a plumber yesterday about some really heavy stuff. And
you got time to think. You got time to think. You got time to process things. And hey, while you're out there building stuff, you can listen to talk radio in the background too, right?
Well, that's what I'm doing right now. As a matter of fact, it's part of my morning routine to hide in the pickup where the boys can't see me and finish up your show and drink my coffee and read emails and everything else. So I'm that guy that.
Well, that's a huge honor. Hold on, I got to hit this hard break here.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I tell you, that was great, that phone call from Neil in the Flathead. And then I caught up with him a little bit more during the break, but he joked about how he'll hide in his pickup so that he can finish listening to Montana Talks. But, yeah, I was chatting with him during the break. This made my day. It was so cool. He was telling me how you know, like, okay, so today if he's working in Whitefish, for example, he's got about a 40-minute drive. So he'll time it to where he's listening to KJJR, he's listening to Montana Talks, so he can listen to the show for the full drive. And then there's still a little bit of the show left once he shows up at the job site. So he'll hide in the pickup in a somewhat hidden location so he can finish listening to the show. Just tell the boys you're ordering more paint. You're on the phone with your supplier or something like that. I'm in there working. I'm filling out paperwork. Don't worry about me. But I laugh because when I was in Glendive for the Gate Show, the Glendive Agri-Trade Expo, back in February, I had this nice lady come up to me, and she's like, oh, I listen to your show all the time. But she was telling me, so she lives on a ranch outside of Glendive, and she was telling me how her son, he'll hop in the pickup and pretend that he's going out to go check on cows. But she says, I see him. He goes and he hides behind the haystacks in the pickup so that he can keep listening to the radio show. But he'll tell mom that he's out, you know, checking on cows. But she can see him, you know, pulling behind the haystacks to hide behind the haystacks to listen to Montana Talks and all the great phone calls that we get. And then, you know, I was in, we were at the Bum Steer and in Flaxville. And ran into a couple of cowhands up there, and they said, oh, yeah, we make sure that every day. Now, we don't come on in Plentywood and Scobie until the 9 o'clock hour. You get this extra hour of Montana Talks here, but you know, at the 9 o'clock hour is when we go live in Plentywood and Scobie and elsewhere across the state. And so they said, oh, yeah, we make sure that every day, 9 o'clock, we're in our pickup listening to the show. So cool. So cool. And they're not just tuning in for me, of course. They're turning in for you. They want to hear what you have to say. And that's really my favorite part of this show, is taking phone calls across the state. That's what we're doing for the next hour and a half here. 406-294-0970. Let's take you to Geyser, Montana. Ed, thanks for the phone call. What's on your mind?
Okay, I'll make it quick. Okay. Now, imagine weaning piglets scrambling to the trough, or a litter of mongrel puppies crowding up food bowl. Such images describe the 10 or so term limited politicians, current office holders looking for a bigger nipple or trying to resurrect a career from decades past, currently in the Eastern Montana Congressional Republican contest. I strongly suggest narrowing the candidate field before the June primary election. With the size of the current slate, the winning nominee will be lucky to receive more than 20% of the total primary vote. For purely political and personal reasons, I recommend early elimination of Raybert, Arnsing, and Downing. However, I sense that different factions in this proverbial smoke-filled room in Helena are trying to retread Rayburg or quietly assisting Downing with early mail drop flyers and radio ads. I was casually acquainted with Rayburg when he was lieutenant governor and actually donated $200 to his failed 2012 Senate campaign, but his time has passed. Now, on a more positive note, of the seven or so remaining candidates, I'm inclined to cast a primary vote for District 19 State Senator Ken Bogner as a figurative pig in a poke or roll of the dice based on his campaign Facebook page and a few social media questions and answers. I know little else about him other than he's from the Miles City region and served in the Marine Corps, but isn't basing his entire campaign on his military laurels, unlike Downing, but I digress. Now, a Montana congressional seat is actually nothing more than a token title position permitted to an oversized, underpopulated, and underdeveloped swath of Manifest Destiny era empire with a federal paycheck attached to the title. The current state of Montana is too large and geopolitically diverse for one, let alone two, congressmen to effectively represent. Okay, I'll go off script. I'll expand on that.
I was going to say, we've got Perry in Columbus. I've called Perry the poet. You're like our cowboy poet out of Geyser. Yeah, you must have. Did you write this down? Because this is well written.
Yes, I wrote it down. Okay, and it passed muster into one county weekly, trying to get it through there. But I used to write a lot of editorials and commentary for for newspapers. I was out in Washington.
Oh, interesting. Oh, wow. Yeah, did you grow up in Montana, though, and before you started doing that?
Yeah, I grew up in Great Falls. Say I'm first generation. I've lived all over the state playing follow that smoke pack or follow that teepee burner and whatnot. Okay, and Geyser are just where I wound up, cheap piece of dirt.
Okay. Wow. Well, it sounds like you had an interesting career. You said writing columns, writing op-ed pieces, things like that. You're welcome to share your last name. I mean, we just do first names and what town people call from. But since you're a writer, if you want to share your last name, people might be interested in reading more of your stuff.
Okay, Neil, N-E-I-L.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, all right. Okay, yeah, I think I've gotten an email or two from you as well. So, when it comes to the very crowded Eastern Congressional seat, your thought is you want to see somebody a little newer, because at least the people who are the bigger names in the early polling, at least, and, you know, all have already held statewide office. You know, you mentioned former Congressman Denny Rehberg. You mentioned State Auditor Troy Downing and Superintendent of Public Instruction Elsie Arntzen. But sounds like you want to see somebody else, and you're leaning towards State Senator Ken Bogner right now.
I talked to you once before. Okay, we talked about musical chairs. Downing is nothing personal. Okay, he's okay. The flyers are coming. The mail drop flyers. I write better than I speak.
I think you covered it in the cowboy poetry portion. So that was great. Well, Ed, I appreciate your phone call. I'm looking at my clock. I better get to some other callers on the phone lines here. I appreciate it. It's always entertaining. And it's going to be interesting watching. I think it's now 8 candidates. The field is whittled down a little bit. Former State Senator Ed Walker dropped out of the congressional race. So I think there's 8 candidates that are in now. I'll get a chance to see every single one of them tomorrow night at the Yellowstone County Lincoln Reagan dinner. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Or you can send us a quick message on our Montana Talks app as well. We've got Dr. Al Olszewski out of Kalispell on the phone lines. Dr. Al, great to hear from you.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Montana. Thank you for taking my call. You know, for those of you over in Eastern Montana that can't make it to Billings for the big Lincoln-Reagan dinner, hey, Kalispell, Sanders County, and Lake County, we all have our candidate forums for the run for our candidates over here in Western Montana. And we kick it off tomorrow night on Friday the 18th at 5:30 with a reception. And then at 7 o'clock for all the candidates going from one of the U.S. Senate candidates to to our congressional candidates, to statewide candidates, and then all of our local candidates. And we'd love to see everybody there. We're expecting 200 to 300 people. And come on out and let's hear our candidates give us their best pitch.
This is the one that Julie called in about, right? So details are at flatheadrepublicans.com if anybody wanted more details or anything like that.
Yep. Hey, I really appreciate it, Aaron. It's time. Come on, Montana, wake up. It is time to figure out who you're going to support and which candidates inspire you. So get out there to the Billings Lincoln Reagan dinner and come on out to Kalispell, Thompson Falls, and down into Lake County.
Yeah, and actually, I noticed you can go to the Montana GOP website and actually download all of their events calendar to your calendar, and then it shows up on your that. So that's kind of a nice little feature as well. Well, Dr. Al, thanks for calling in. And yeah, absentee ballots get mailed out 3 weeks from tomorrow. So that's when the election really gets started. Dr. Al, thanks for the call. Next up on the phone lines, State Representative Greg Oblender out of Shepherd. Greg, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in.
Great to hear you too, Aaron. I appreciate your hard work and getting the word out to the great people of Montana. And I wanted to call and express thanks to the gentleman that called in on the trades. I was fortunate enough to sponsor a bill last session to increase funding for the CTSO program, which is the Career Technical Student Organization. And so first time in 10 years, we're able to get some additional funding for that. And because of that funding, Aaron, we've seen a at least a 20% increase in the number of high school students that are participating and learning about learning trades and learning how to run businesses and all those kinds of things. So it's just a great program, and I hope people really understand that there's a lot of effort out there to try and increase the number of people that participate in the trades program.
And the businesses as well. Hold that thought. We got to take a quick break. Hold that thought.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This is not an ordinary trial. This taxpayer-funded, media-promoted smear campaign against Trump, where he has a gag order and the threat of jail if he opens his mouth, and the other people that are involved in this case have no such thing. You got a prosecutor that ran on getting Trump, just like the AG in New York did. The judge donates to Biden. You can't make this up. The jury pool comprised of Americans living in the deepest of blue cities, where only 12% of the electorate voted for Donald Trump. It's a misdemeanor document labeling allegation. It dates back 8 years, well past the statute of limitations. And they mysteriously found a way to bring it back and turn it into a felony. But none of this matters.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
All right, winter's officially left the building, so why not spring forward and freshen up your home with new premium window treatments from our friends at Blinds.com. Now, Blinds.com, they invented a better way to shop for stylish blinds and shades and shutters, even motorized options for your patio. Everything is 100% online. That means you never have to deal with an overpriced showroom or pushy commission salespeople in your home. You can do the measuring and installation yourself, or simply let Blinds.com and their pros handle it. Now, you could have multiple window coverings installed. And with Blinds.com, you always get free professional design experts. They will help you pick the perfect selection for you for free. They even send samples for free directly to you. Blinds.com's free shipping, and of course, the 100% satisfaction guarantee. No questions asked. Save up to 40% when you shop at Blinds.com for a limited time. Up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Some of us got a little carried away with our rhetoric when the Berlin Wall came down in 1989. It was not quite the clear-cut victory of market-based capitalism over central planning that some made it out to be. That's because what passes for a market economy on both sides of the Atlantic contains a stronger dose of governmental planning, coordination, and regulation than we sometimes admit. A cynical person might say that when you join the democratic political system to a market economy, you get a world where the private sector delivers the results and politicians take the credit. In that sense, it's probably harmless, but a bit silly, to give presidents credit for strong economies or blame for economic stumbles. Much of what grows the economy is done behind the scenes by businesses, banks, utilities, and real estate developers pursuing their own self-interests. But from state government all the way down to mayors and community organizations, government greases the wheels of growth as well. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by 5 to save 15% today.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, Studio. Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a quick few minutes left this hour of this show, and then we'll be taking your phone calls once again in the 9 o'clock hour of Montana Talks as well. If you got something you want to talk about, open phones for the rest of the morning, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. All right, since we only had a quick less than a minute there before the last break, let's go back to State Representative Greg Oblander out of Shepherd on the phone lines here. It's been really cool to see the increased focus on trades education. I know that, you know, Governor Gianforte has been a big proponent of it, a big supporter of it. Even School District 2 in Billings, they're doing a job fair that I think is coming up right around the corner, if I'm not mistaken, where they're not just focused on, hey, here's the jobs you kids can get when you get out of school, but no, here's jobs that you can get right now. Apprenticeships that are available right now, job opportunities that are available for you right now while you're still in high school.
That's exactly right, Aaron. It's a great opportunity because
college and graduate school, it's not for everybody, but there's a lot of talented people in Montana, kids particularly, who learn trades and go out. They make a great living. They become good citizens. They have families. They pay taxes. They do all those good things that help each and every one of our communities just be a better, stronger place. So it's awesome to see the changes that are taking place and that people are recognizing the value of the trades throughout Montana.
Yeah. Now, that upcoming job fair, that may not be the one that's for the kids. I think that one may be for adults. I just pulled up the press release. But I know that they have been doing job fairs for kids to show them opportunities that exist right now. What do you think the legislature needs to do? Because obviously, hey, we've got competitive legislative primaries going on right now, legislative races this November. What do you think the legislature needs to do to build upon these efforts? Or big picture, what do legislators need to tackle in the next session?
Well, I think, you know, we all hear about property taxes and all of those kinds of really big, important issues to Montanans. But one of the things the legislatures can do, and I hope that we can have the right people reelected and so forth to serve in the legislature, it gives us the opportunity to go in and look at the value of some of the things that go on in Montana, whether that's increasing natural resource development, increasing businesses, and allowing them to have the opportunity to be able to expand their businesses, because we want to employ these youth that come out of school and give them the opportunity to stay and live in Montana, because it is such a great place to live and raise a family. So I'm hoping the legislature will look at not just what everybody deems the big, hard issues, but also many of the smaller, valuable issues that we can do to improve things.
Yeah, all right. Well, Representative Oblinder, great to hear from you. I know you're a doctor for your day job, so you're not able to call in too often, so we appreciate you calling in today.
I've got patients waiting, but I appreciate the chance to get to talk to you for a minute, and I hope everybody has a great day in Montana.
All right. Well, thanks for what you do. Thanks for calling in. You think about the medical industry. Obviously, you got lots of folks that work in healthcare, and, you know, in a number of different capacities. You know, sometimes you got to get surgery, but if you don't have to get surgery, you know, and you can dodge surgery, that's ideal, right? Even a surgeon will tell you that. What if you could have pain relief from that pain in those joints without surgery, without painkillers? Especially if you're retired right now, you got the time, you maybe even have the money to get out there and enjoy, you know, golf or a good hike, something like that, but you can't because you got pain in those knees, pain in your hips, pain in your back. Well, let me tell you about QC Kinetics. They specialize in something known as regenerative medicine. That's where they take the healing agents that are already in your body, they consolidate them down, and they put them directly into those achy joints so you can dodge surgery, so you can dodge painkillers and more. You can call QC Kinetics today. You can call them right now for a free consultation. We got a break coming up. If you want to call during the break, call QC Kinetics for a free consultation, 406-201-6263. That's QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. And we got open phones in the 9 o'clock hour.
He's a former coach.